from the twisted realm of science and the darkest pits of reason comes chilling tales of godlessness. Bear witness to the unfathomable terror that is the Good Atheist.
There is something I wanted to talk about. It was a movie that I saw called The Soloist. That was a movie about this guy, a Los Angeles Times columnist, who met this homeless guy who had failed out of Juilliard because I guess he had mental problems or something like that. So he's a bit nutty. Anyways, it's kind of like your typical transformative power of music meets sort of like trying to raise awareness about homelessness in California.
Sounds kind of like a clone of that movie with Danny DeVito, Renaissance Man or something like that, where he was a homeless guy and then Denzel Washington took him in. And
what are you talking about? Like, okay, first of all, Renaissance Man was a comedy starring Danny DeVito who was training army recruits, okay? That was Renaissance Man. The one you're talking about, that was Anton Fisher, you know, like, hello, what is wrong with your brain?
I don't know. There was something. There was a movie in the kernel of what I was talking about.
I'm sure you could kind of mesh all those together, and it forms kind of like the basic crux of, hey, sad struggle.
No, I'm just saying.
Feel
this...
good, overwhelming.
Okay, I'm just saying it's been done before.
Oh yeah,
With Danny DeVito.
I guess the no.
Yes, I swear to God. And then he dies, and they were like, he helped me so much. Totally happened.
Is this Dead Poets Society? I don't even know where you're going with
this. It's not Dead Poets Society. I told you that's Danny DeVito. God, you're thick.
Anyways, moving beyond your insanity for a second, there was this one scene where he's interviewing an atheist who's basically doing the whole highway cleanup. Because there's a... atheists are becoming more organized, I think. That's basically the crux of what's going on right now. Lots of small organizations are forming up, and they're, you know, combining with other larger groups. And, you know, some atheist organizations are now being seriously funded, and they're starting all kinds of community outreach programs and that kind of stuff. And so far the reaction, at least according to the New York Times article, has been positive. But the reason it ties into the kind of movie is that the entire time, it just made it look like the atheist was just really boring. Like, there is nothing that this guy could tell you. He's like, so you don't believe in anything, kind of a thing. And that was it. That was the crux. That was what they gave us in terms of screen time. Now, I can understand kind of Steve Lopez, which is the main guy who's the columnist, real-life columnist. He seems to have kind of like this, all right, I don't like the really strong religious attitude. There was this other musician who was really profoundly religious, and it was kind of like he was glaringly... not a good character. You know, they shit on him pretty quick for trying to spread the gospel all the time and so on and so forth. But, you know, this whole time I felt like he was trying to say, oh, there's this grace and beauty and it's beyond, you know, atheism.
So is the movie saying that religion is dumb but kind of beautiful at the same time? Is that, and then atheism is just dull and boring?
I think so that's kind of what I got.
So they kind of skewed both sides?
Yeah, I felt that was kind of like the message going through. And, you know, to one degree, I can understand that perception, but I think it is unfortunate. I think it's really sad that people think that just because you don't believe in God that you just somehow don't believe in beauty, you know? It's like, oh, well, you can't see beauty. You don't believe in God.
Here's the deal. We card out all those scientists and say, check it out, all these scientists don't believe in God. But then they Christian people turn around and go, these scientists are dweebs and losers. They make Al Gore seem hip and cool. Before Al Gore became hip and cool, back then, they made him look cool.
Let me tell you, everybody who's ever been cool has been a douchebag. You know what I mean? Only people who are secretly very nerdy are all right. You know, the cool people really are douches. Mm-hmm. Like, name me a cool person.
That's a douche, Leonardo DiCaprio.
I'm sure he's a fucking giant prick. You know what I mean? Like, he's got that sort of pretty boy face. He's fucked everyone he's ever wanted to fuck, and he's just done with you. He doesn't want to... What are you going to tell Leonardo DiCaprio? In his mind, you're, like, worthless. You're worthless. You have nothing to teach Leonardo DiCaprio, according to him, I bet.
I even consider myself scum compared to Leonardo DiCaprio. I'm perfectly fine with that.
I am scum. You are great. I am scum.
I look at him, and my fucking evolutionary meter in my head is just like, he's better than you. And I'm like, I admit it. I try and fucking kill him with a rock, and I get up behind him, and then my evolutionary need to make sure this Adonis of a man continues to live on would kick in, and I would just try and pitch him a movie deal or something.
I was going to crush you with this rock, but you want to hang out later? No, I understand. I understand.
I got a script for an. I got an idea for a script. Danny DeVito is a homeless guy.
Ah, oh, boy.
We could call it Renaissance Man.
I'm going to sit you in front of IMDb later, and I'm just going to school you.
That's what I'm going to do.
Okay. I'm going to spend the afternoon to just, you know, crush that little retarded dream of yours that somehow thinks that Danny DeVito was in a movie like that.
He dies.
Okay. I just want to beat you with a shovel. Okay, I wanted to talk about...
Do you want to talk a little bit more about the organization of
yeah, movies? Yeah. This is what I was going to mention. I think it's kind of... it's kind of neat because, you know, this is what's been missing, really. Like, the religious, the sectarian groups, they always do their soup kitchens or homeless shelters. And you're like, damn, you know, when you want to try to compete for people's hearts and minds, you got to start doing stuff, you know, staying at home being like, I don't care about nobody. Well, that's not the kind of image we want to have, you know? You don't have to be that dude who doesn't care about anyone when you're an atheist.
Here's the deal. There are atheist bastards, and then there are really moral atheists. And I'm not sure. What do you think? Do you think there's more atheist bastards than there are, you know, like that kind of godless, I don't believe in God, so I'm just going to try and go to hell?
Well, I think it's not necessarily that. I think it's probably something more along the lines of, if you don't really have an outlet for it, you just say, screw it. And you figure that, you know, you rejecting the idea of forming communities or finding like-minded people saying, well, this is inherently the problem of religion, is that it brings people together and then they go and do all kinds of horrible things. I'm like, do you really think that that's what's going to happen in this case? I mean, you can make provisions for it. There are certain precautions you can take, but generally you're not uniting under any form of dogma. You're just uniting and saying, like, hey, we want to go out and do good. And that's all right. And you're not saying it's not in the name of anyone in particular. I think we all have kind of like a recognition that if there isn't anything divine, then we might as well just make human being divine in some form.
Yeah, try to make our time on this earth as less painful, at least amount of pain as possible. Because right now it really sucks for a lot of people.
Yep. You know, I think we just kind of naturally understand what is good and what is bad, you know, because we can empathize with other people. We're all so similar that I think it's kind of funny that people get so paranoid. You know, they worry, oh, are other people going to hurt me? Are they crazy? Can I trust anyone? And everybody's thinking the same thing, you know. It's only when you start really kind of getting used to meeting and encountering other people that you see they're just like you. And they react the same way to kind of, you know, similar situations, similar circumstances.
Except hot chicks. They're crazy.
They're always crazy, but they're crazy for a different reason. They're crazy because everybody lets them get
away with everything. Whoa, stop. Think about this for a few seconds.
No, I think it should be funny, actually. Okay. As a kind of a side segue. Okay. Didn't you ever notice that really, really hot chicks get away with just more stuff? Yeah. Like, they just do, man. They can do whatever the heck they want, and everyone's like, I should probably tell her she's a crazy bitch, but man, she is hot.
Yeah, just look at all the really hot chicks who really suck at art on DeviantArt and all those sites, and they just keep putting up all that art, and everyone's like, that's beautiful! No, it's not. The picture of you with a belt around your boobs, that's what everybody is. They're just like, let's pump up her ego so she gives us more. M-O-A-R, more.
You know, I think it's also that whole secret fear, because really hot chicks who try to do things that are, you know, like, that require talent, always feel very paranoid that no one's going to actually like their stuff, you know, or comment on them, what they look like.
What was it? It was Scarlett Johansson that put out an album. It was all of Tom Waits covers, right?
That's right.
And it was apparently the most god-awful thing on the face of the earth.
I hear that it's terrible.
Such terrible things can come out of such... I guess, you know, it's the understanding is she poops out her butt, so I guess this can come out of her mouth. And it's, I can understand
poop can
that.
Come out of her mouth.
Yeah,
poop
exactly.
Can do that, exactly. Apparently, with Scarlett Johansson.
Anyways, back to God or the lack thereof.
Are you giving me back the reins here?
Yeah, I'm saying,
all right,
let's
you
get
stepping
back
off the
on
saddle.
Track.
Okay. Well, the only other thing that I wanted to say was basically that the kind of crustiness that we normally associate, I think, is just a consequence of the fact that we just don't have a lot of ways to be social on that level. And you know what? It is enjoyable when you meet other people and they think kind of similarly to you, and you've been frustrated all this time because people are believing crazy stuff and you've been holding your tongue every time. You know, you go out, somebody says something really stupid or silly, but you know that if you raise your voice, you know that if you say something and say, no, that doesn't make any sense, everyone's going to make a scene. And it just you just kind of just forget about it. You just numb it out of your brain. You're like, I don't need to think about this anymore. I guess I don't get to tell anyone how I feel or what I think. And that's very frustrating, and I think I can understand why some people would be a little bitter.
Why maybe some people listen to the show so they can get that kind of... Because, I mean, we talked about this before. We take it for granted that we talk about this shit all the time. I honestly want to take a hammer to my head sometimes because Jake will literally lecture me for 45 minutes about Nicaea and everything. So I take it for granted, but I understand that a lot of people don't really have anybody to talk to about anything.
Your friendly neighborhood atheist who's come by all the time, lives with you, and shows you the way of atheism.
It's like, this is not water cooler conversation.
No, it's true. I mean, I guess I don't spend enough time listening to other people's conversations to know what they're like. Like, this is the kind of conversation I have on a fairly regular basis. We just hit record, and then we just go.
You know what you are? You're a fucking Mormon, except you're just lazy, and you don't go very far.
A Mormon?
Yeah, you're so lazy, we're sitting here on a microphone instead of getting on some shoes and going around.
I don't even understand why the Mormons travel anymore. They might as well just release a podcast. I'm like, why are you going around? A lot of effort for, you know, very little...
Listening on the Odd Past Cake.
It's not like they're listening to our show. What, are they going to listen to our show and just try to figure out how they can change our minds?
They don't get technology, but they do fucking spy. And they do
the Mormon spies?
I don't know if the Mormon spies. Religions in general do a lot of sneaky stuff. Tell me the Scientologists aren't fucking out there paying attention to everything that goes on.
You know what? I think that they should make a cool thriller movie about the Scientologists and their whole thing, like trying to break into their archives and that kind of stuff. It'd be cool. They would flip the fuck out. Can you imagine? They would flip out.
If I was rich, I would hire a crack team of covert fucking missionaries. Not missionaries, mercenaries.
Mercenaries? What, to infiltrate?
To infiltrate and steal or burn or kill or I don't know.
You know what, though?
I would have so much fun with money.
I've watched.
It would be awesome.
I've watched the conversion techniques of Scientology, and let me tell you something. Brainwashing assured. I think it's difficult to send anybody covertly over there. I'm sure that they've probably sent people, and they never came back. You know what I mean? Because they do weird things that you wouldn't expect that have a profound impact. Like, for instance, they sit you down, and they start yelling at you, and you cannot show any sign that it's affecting you. You have to basically... They train... your need to empathize with other people out of you. You know, they're like, everyone else is an enemy that's not a Scientologist. So they just drill that in you. So it has a profound impact on your brain, man. If you don't think that you'll be affected by that, if you think that you're immune from that, I'm like, come on, man.
Here's a question for you.
No,
why is it legal to brainwash people?
I don't know. Maybe it's just because it's one of those things that... If you make that illegal, a lot of religious people probably freak out. They're like, you've taken away 80% of all of our conversion techniques through what would essentially be called brainwashing. And it's the other reason, too, is that brainwashing, quote-unquote, is not really well understood. It's not what people think
it is. It's kind of like date rape, right? It's like there's way too much of a gray area.
No, day rape has no gray area. That's not what the court said, Ryan. Not what the court said. And that family's never going to be the same, Ryan. Never going to be the same. What have you done?
Well, they took me to...
You destroyed another beautiful flower. I can't let you out of this house.
It was Basic Instinct 2. What could I say? Why would you take me to that if you didn't expect something to happen?
It was just a movie, Ryan. You didn't have to follow those three girls in the bathroom. That was just disturbing. All right, let's move on to a different topic because...
Because my parole officer says I'm not allowed to talk about that.
Definitely not allowed to talk about it. And let's talk about this the thing that has everybody scared and thinking, do I need to stockpile?
What the fuck is this? You're not saying it's like Voldemort or something? Like the disease which cannot be named that everybody's afraid of. We're just going to...
Well, I'm trying to kind of make it impactful here. You know what I mean? It's kind of build up. But I appreciate you taking a pin...
and just popping that bubble.
Dude, a pandemic doesn't need to be built up. You're just like, holy shit,
everybody.
You do
need to. You don't understand. What? Doesn't need to be built up. That's like you saying you can have an action movie without music because action is all you need. Shut up, dude. You need all elements to kind of come together in a crescendo of fear.
Yeah, it's like Oscar Wilde.
I'm doing the
Wilde.
Hannity here. Yeah? Doing the Hannity here.
Okay, you're building it up like a thing.
A thing that could destroy this world and send it to the cat.
Tear in the fabric of our society, those damn Democrats.
Chaos is on the way. This is a terrorist attack on the highest level. Okay, I don't know quite if we're ready to press the panic button, but I thought we could talk about it a little bit. My whole thing is, why is it just me? Is it sort of like the perception skewed here? But it just seems to be spreading really fast. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah.
It seems to be spreading really fast. What is it, like 1,600 suspected casualties in just only a few days? I'm like, that's... Or cases in just a few days? I'm like, that's scary.
Yeah, compared to SARS. I remember, because here's the thing. I mean, living up in Canada, and at the time I was doing the drive back, and I was doing like an hour commute each way. So I listened to the CBC. Because after a while, it doesn't matter. I had cassette tapes, and it was just a bad scene. So I listened to the CBC for fucking 2 months during that SARS scare, and it just was so. They're like, one more person. It's like, what? Like, 7 people. And it's just, you look at this one here, and how many people have been infected. You're just like, that's kind of creepy.
I just don't... The only thing that obsesses me about it is the amount of information is just so pathetically small. I'm not getting any information. I'm just getting a report of something that I already know about, saying, like, the most suspected cases. Thank you for the report. Can you tell me what the fuck is going on here?
What that means, what those statistics mean, should we start getting worried? Because it seems like there's a very weird kind of, like, don't panic yet, but be very, very concerned. And I'm at that level, personally, myself. We haven't gone and stockpiled anything, but we went to the grocery store and...
And I picked up a lot of noodles, just in case. You can survive quite a bit of time on those carbohydrates.
Yeah,
unless they store for a long time.
Unless the water stops. Then we're fucking dead.
It's called toilet water, buddy. Better get used to it. Mm. Well, if you want to really be cautious, why don't you just fill up the bathtubs? How disgusting would that be? That would be disgusting, filling up bathtubs, and that's what you use as communal water.
Mm-mm-mm. Very nice.
Yuck. I'd wash myself with dirt, I bet.
So is there any kind of religious aspect that we have on this, or do we just really want to kind of say, like, holy shit, everybody?
Well, here's the...
Have that kind of shared connection where we're just like, wow.
Well, I'm actually wanting to kind of muse around with this. Not kind of go to the doomsday scenario, but just talk about what you would expect if this were to be, say, a moderately like serious threat. Like, not a huge one, but a moderate one.
So you want us to, like, role play out what's going to happen?
Well, I kind of want to discuss what we would both expect to see as a reaction from people. Because you know what? It's kind of like one of those, it's a public service announcement. We are doing a thought experiment with it. It's happening. It's happening. You're part of this. Why? Because you're going to freak out?
No, I just don't want to play that game. It's not my thing.
This is your job. You have to do this. Welcome to the bonus show. You ready?
No.
You're going to do this, bitch.
Okay, you start, and I'll see how I feel. How's that sound?
All right, I'm sure you're going to want to talk at some point, basically saying, like, no, you're wrong, Variety. You know, you like to do that. Anyways, my whole thing is that if it was to go anywhere, the first thing you would hear out of the mouths of every fucking religious person is like, end times. That's always the speech you hear, because, you know, any sign that they see that's serious. So they're like, oh, more earthquakes. Okay, end times. Oh, shoot, there's a comet coming.
9/11, tsunami.
Who know? I don't even know what. What were some other examples of the recent end time scare that everybody's just throwing around?
The tsunami, 9/11, gays, the economy collapsing.
Yeah.
Pretty much everything gets blamed on sinners pissing off God.
You know what? I think that they've reached that mark where they're at claim number 1,000, and they just got to stop.
Israel, they blame everything sinners on Israel and everything like that. So. There's that as well.
Oh, yeah. Well, that's an ongoing dialogue. They just love kind of, like, just bringing that back every single time. As soon as something happens, oh, my goodness, this must be end times. And I'm just like, please, could you stop?
New Orleans was because God was pissed.
Yeah, but I don't know if anybody claimed New Orleans as end times.
9/11, no, not as end times, you're right. But like a sign of, like, the impending fucking God being angry and getting ready to... Smite everyone
or send everybody up to heaven. And, you know, yeah, I have to wonder how many people are actually secretly hoping that this flu is that sign.
Well, okay, explain this to me, because I'm not too sure. End times, is that something that gets triggered completely by, say, God and Jesus and all those people? Or is it something that we trigger ourselves, a la kind of like an Indiana Jones opening up the sarcophagus kind of thing?
No, no, no. It's not us doing it. It's very clear. I mean, it basically, the chronology is that there is this Antichrist that appears. Then there are basically, you know, certain things are supposed to happen. One world government, because they were really afraid of that for some reason. They're very, you know, Orwellian back then. Anyways, one world government, and basically 7 years of peace, and then followed by all kinds of signs. But at first, the first thing that's supposed to happen is that all the righteous are supposed to instantly disappear. Mm-hmm. Rapture. Boom. So however many, you know, fundamentalist Christians, that is, they're supposed to all disappear, and then all of a sudden we're supposed to be, I don't even know how to describe it. We're supposed to understand, be surprised, but not surprised at the same time. Because if I'm like, what the hell is the point of a prophecy if you're like, well, we know exactly what's going to happen. Mm-hmm. That man's the Antichrist. They say you can't stop these events. You have to allow these to happen. But I'm like, obviously people try to make it to stop it. That's just human nature. It's as if we just sit by.
Well, just based on what you say, I'd like to say that this is nothing like that Arnold Schwarzenegger movie told me it would be like.
Wait, you were expecting that to be an adequate representation of the
world? I don't see why not. It would be crazy enough. I mean, End of Times is pretty insane.
End of Days?
Hmm? Yeah. End Times, End of Days. You know.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. As a story element, I like it. I mean, I'll watch a movie where it's end times. Sure, I find it entertaining. It's a movie. It's the same reason why I watch Harry Potter. It's not like I go back home and say, these are serious revocations to reality. It's Harry Potter. Okay, Harry Potter. That's why I like Greek mythology, too. I don't start believing in it once I leave the theater. The whole thing behind End of Days was that the devil was trying to, you know, screw that girl to get a child. It's supposed to be the Antichrist.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. So
there's nothing in there like that, right?
No, Arnold Schwarzenegger, no boozy guy saving the day either. Like, the end times is supposed to happen. The Antichrist is supposed to be born, which is what's so interesting about these movies. They always try to get to stop it, but really, at the end of it all, we're supposed to have like this one, you know, 1,000 years of peace on Earth. It's supposed to be a new Eden, and then I don't know what actually happens at the end of the 1,000 years. They just like nice big round numbers.
The end. It's got to end somewhere. I said, and then 1,000 years. It's like, that's long enough. We don't have to explain what happens after that, because seriously, 1,000 years, it's insanity.
That's so long. You got no idea. That's almost infinity, man. Hey, 1,000 years.
Fuck it, we did it with the computer systems again. What do we do? 19 or do we do like a 4-digit year code, or just 19 whatever? It's like 19 whatever. 2,000. We ain't gonna make it.
No way. Computers by then will be vastly different.
It's like, you realize we are building these computers to drop nuclear bombs on people. I don't think we need the 4 digits.
I'm like, go with 6, all right? Or 8 or 9. I'm cool with any digit. You can put a lot of zeros in front of it. I don't care. Yeah. You know, just have that. Think ahead. I think it's one of those, you know, those caps there that think ahead and it's all crooked? Yeah, it's like one of those. You know, we can all learn something from those crazy caps. All right, but let's go back to the pandemic.
Okay.
Scare. So, I have no doubt that you'd just get, I don't know, the crazies would come out yelling, this is sort of end times. My other problem, too, is that a lot of people, like, I have a kind of a, I always wondered, do they want to kind of speed things up, some of these people? Like, are they like, well, I'm going to go and cough on everybody. Got to spread this thing.
Oh, I don't think it goes that far.
With the crazies? I don't know, man.
Well, I mean, like, with the crazies will do anything, you know? The crazies are crazy. You can't base anything on the crazies.
Oh, that's why I want to understand the crazies. Like, how do you react when you think that the pandemic is the sign of end times? Like, what is the first thing you do tomorrow? You know? That's what I'm wondering, if you're crazy. What's the first thing you do tomorrow?
Probably just hunker down and fucking pray. That's the great thing about religious people. Like, there's a reason that certain governments fucking spread it, because it makes the people docile.
We will make them docile.
It's like, so long as your leader shares the religion, you can just be like, fucking stay at home and chill out.
Stay at home, pray. That's what you're going to be doing. That's a very important activity. Don't go out and do anything. Just sit home and pray. You know, I can kind of understand why that is very useful. Mm-hmm. Stay home, do nothing. do nothing.
Yep, and you know what? I figure, and this is gonna, this is, you know what? It sounds like such a Letterman joke in my head, but I'm gonna throw it out there anyways.
Here we go.
George Bush can claim now that Saran wrap and duct tape can come in useful now. Is this 2 years too soon, or what is it, 3 or 4?
I don't even understand what that means.
What, you don't remember when George Bush told everybody to buy a whole bunch of plastic sheets and duct tape?
No.
No? It was one of those heightened terror alerts.
What is that supposed to do exactly?
It's supposed, well, before it was, no one knew. But now, obviously, protects us from the swine flu. Fuck it. Seal your house up. Of oxygen.
Yeah, that's where I was going to go. I'm like, wait a minute. I don't think it's a very good idea to seal up your home. But, you know, you may not wake up.
It's not mine. It's George Bush's. You can listen to it. He's the man.
I love him. Anything else we want to speculate on the flu? If we were crazy religion people?
I don't want to fucking speculate.
No,
it's hilarious because it scares the shit out of me, but I don't want to say anything because I don't want to look foolish afterwards. And it's very ironic, and I'm just wondering, are we just all going to bite our tongues until it's too late, and then we'll freak out? Is it ever too late to freak out or too early to freak out?
I'm calling Armageddon. I'm not even going to wait. I don't. You know what? I'd rather be called the fool than to say, people, be prepared. Buy lots of rice and pasta. Nah. That's all I'm saying. Lots of rice and pasta. Because the at worst, but basically what I think would happen is that there could be a kind of quarantine where they ask or limit people going to public places. And
they,
that just makes
sense.
It's
for,
like,
the next month, chill out and let us figure out what's going on.
Yeah, don't go out to fucking do stuff yet. Be vigilant. I mean, like, people who don't take that shit seriously enough and they're like, oh, somebody's taking care of it. No, you know, like, watch what's going on. And, you know, I can understand, like, even today, what was funny is traffic numbers for both our sites were down. And I can understand why people are thinking about different things. And they're thinking, we need to pay attention to what's going on. Luckily, you know, we don't leave home very often, so we're going to button down everything. We're going to close down shop.
And if you guys fucking need some people to hang out with at home that won't give you fucking bovine swine bullshit flu, just put us in and tune us on.
That's right. Listen to that easy listening.
To that smooth voice.
That top. Smooth Carolina voice.
Vocal jazz.
Vocal jazz, it is the Good Atheist bonus show.
No, it's Ryan, no talk good, and Jake, Forte.
All right, well, with that, let's wrap up the bonus show. We're going to catch everybody for the regular Good Atheist podcast.
If we're not all dead yet.
If we're not all dead, but you know what? Even if we're sort of like holding on, civilization collapses, we'll try to get one more in.
Here's the deal. I don't believe in God, but I believe in science. And whatever Mother Nature tries to throw at us, science might take a beating at first, but we will win.
Let's make sure that if it comes down to that everybody's ready for some serious-ass science.
Mm-hmm.
Because there's not going to be like, are we playing gods? We have to.
Yep.
There are some times where you just have to be like, well, we got to do what we got
to
do.
We had to change the DNA marker and change ourselves into meta-humans that are immune.
That are mostly made of oxygen. We float around in the sea of consciousness. Maybe that's our...
Next week, everything will be completely back to normal, and that will be perfectly fine by me.
And you know what? It will be a funny episode to listen to. Hadi har har. And not a tragic one that you find like 400 years in the future in a broken civilization. You're like, what is this podcast? It's like, they joked about this way back then.
Ah, atheism. I remember when that was a leisure I was allowed.
That's until the thought police came over.